Brothers and sisters of Mamin, and all believers who are attending this service through GC and internet and other media. I'm delivering the message about the 12 foundation stones of New Jerusalem based on the senior pastor's sermon. In last session, I've explained about the 9th and 10th foundation stones. Today, let's look into the 11th jacinth and the 12th amethyst. There is a parable of there are 12 foundation stones of New Jerusalem, and these foundation stones are the key to New Jerusalem. And we have, when we fulfill the spiritual meaning of the 12 foundation stones, and then we can enter New Jerusalem. Do you remember all the 12 foundation stones? Memorize those gemstones? They are jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, and amethyst. There must be members who can memorize those these. If you do not, then let me give you some time to memorize the stone, names of the stones. If you memorize the initial word of the 12 stones, then you can easily memorize the names. Let's do it. Yes, you can memorize them very easily with initial letters. In Korean, there are two noks. So you have to know which is the fourth and the other. And there are two gemstones with the same initial. In Korean, so you can easily memorize the word, the names by memorizing the initial words. I hope you memorize them and cultivate the spiritual hearts that that are symbolized in those stones. There is a parable of heaven in Matthew chapter 13. 13:44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Even if you know where a treasure is hidden, if you don't dig it out, or if you don't recognize it, even in front of your eyes, it's nothing but piece of stone. Back in our childhood, we could see movies which was about the age of the Wild West. There appears Indians who couldn't recognize the value of gold or diamonds. So they traded those gemstones with them. Stuffs of American people. Brothers and sisters, you and I came to understand the value of each foundation stone of the city wall of New Jerusalem through the senior pastor's message. Before that, we couldn't understand the meaning of the record. Why Father God recorded those names of the stones, gemstones. But senior pastor knew the value, and he made us understand those values. I hope you find the true value of them also through this sermon. May you possess the gemstones by selling all you have like the diligent man. I pray this in the name of the Lord. The 11th foundation stone is jacinth. It is bluish, transparent stone, and it symbolizes purity and holiness. Purity is to be clean and clear. If a man has a heart without any sins, any faults or spots, God recognizes him as pure. In Matthew chapter 15 and Mark 7, record the scene that when the Pharisees and the scribes were together with Jesus, they saw Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. The Pharisees and scribes washed their hands before they ate, following the tradition of the elders, but Jesus' disciples didn't. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask a question and accuse him, saying, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" The tradition of the elders is recorded in the New Testament. Let's look into the background of the tradition of the elders briefly. B.C. 586, Jerusalem was defeated by Babylon Empire. God's temple was destroyed and many nobles and people were taken to Babylon as captives. People of Israel thought that they were defeated because they didn't serve God with all their hearts. So when they came back to Israel after 7 years of captivity in the will of God, they made strict rules to keep. Those rules were closely applied to their everyday life, and people were commanded to keep them. They considered that keeping those rules is to serve God well. They even put the rules ahead of the law. They didn't do it with the love for God. They focused on the forms. The fathers of faith who knew the heart of God understood that Father God wants our heart. So David confessed that the sacrifices of God are the broken spirit. And Father God he wants a broken and contrite heart. For example, to keep the commandments, keep the Sabbath holy, they made 39 articles and 234 following rules. They had the 234 rules. The first article was about farming, sowing seed. They made articles and rules about farming and things that happen in daily life. On the Sabbath day, you cannot put a fire. So the Jewish people put a fire before the Sabbath day. Well, they must put the fire all day long. Sometimes the switch was happened to be off. So they put some tape on that so that they can use keep it on every all day long. Also, driving a car is a work they do. So they don't drive a car on the Sabbath. They cannot move things more than 2 meters. That's why when the cripple was healed by Divine, he stood up and he walked. More than 2 meters. If the Pharisees and scribes saw that man was healed of the cripples, then they must have wondered for that miracle. But they didn't see it, but they saw that man broke the rule, the tradition of the elders. They didn't think of the will of God, but they focused on the all forms. There are eating rules in the tradition of the elders. So one of them is that they should wash their hands before they eat. And if they come back from the market, they should pray water on their body before they eat. These are sort of cleaning ceremony. However, they have nothing to do with the law of God. They forced people to do all forms without purifying their heart. There are words saying that some people are clean and some other people are not clean in the Old Testament of the Bible. We say this is a cleaning ceremony. Anyways, then Jesus said very easily and clearly, so they could realize, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? He said, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Father God says, the heart is more deceitful than all else. You know the smell of something that is rotting? Have you ever smelled the smell of a rotting fish or a rat? You cannot see dead rats recently, but in the countryside, you may see the dead rats. Then the smell is so stink. So I remember such a scene of dead rats. It's so gross. But Father God says that the heart of man is more deceitful than all else. Have you ever smelled the dead body? In the beginning of our church, there were many patients who stayed in the prayer center. There were some people whose body was rotting because of disease. So without love, you cannot enter in that room because of bad smell. But Father God says that if our heart is rotting and Father God hates those hearts, the word that proceeds out of the mouth is from the heart. So Jesus said in Matthew 15, 19 and 20. For out of the heart come evil thought, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things that defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. It taught us what the true purity in God's sight is. That is not to wash hands, but to have no sin in the heart. Just as we wash our hands and body with water, we can also wash our heart with the spiritual water. The spiritual water is the Word of God. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We can wash away our filthy sins of heart as much as we practice the Word of God. For example, Ephesians 4:22 says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside all self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. And Exodus 20:13 through 15 says, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal." The untruth and evil can be washed from our heart to the extent that we obey the word to cast away and don't like these. This is the true being born again. But Before we listened to the Holiness Gospel, we couldn't understand the meaning of the word that we should be sanctified with water and spirit. Also, Matthew 22:37 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." If we obey the do's and keep commands, we can keep our heart clean without being stained by the sins and the evil of the world again. With the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is written. So, in the Bible, so to interpret the words of the Bible, we have to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Only then we can understand the true will and providence of God embedded in the Bible. Our senior pastor has been leading us to understand that true will and providence of God through the message of the Holiness Gospel. Without post, we cannot go the way easily. There must be it must take long, or we cannot find a way without a post. If there is no teacher, we cannot go the way in a spiritual sense. Of course, there are people who can go their way on their own, like Abraham or Moses, but you know, Father God Himself led them to go that way. However, how were their hearts? They did unchanging heart. They had a good heart, so they could see God, and they could be led by God. No, not everyone could be led by God. So that's why our Father God allowed the true shepherd. We could meet this true shepherd in our church. And our senior pastor has been preaching to keep, to do, to cast away, not to do, according to the word of the Bible, so that we can be saved. Also, we can enter New Jerusalem. We heard this Holiness Gospel. So how precious it is, how grateful we are. This grace must be in us. Those who are pure in heart are blessed. As Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." They are blessed to see God face to face. in heaven. It means that they can enter at least the third kingdom of heaven or even New Jerusalem. Moses saw God face to face. Father God said Himself, brothers and sisters, in Mamin, let us not judge one another. Oh, let us not say anything easy to one another. There are people who are loved by God. We should not judge on them or condemn them. We should not easily say anything against the one who is loved by God. We have to have peer in salvation, reach salvation. But the real meaning of seeing God is not just seeing God. It means meeting with God and receiving help from Him. It means that we are living in life in which we walk with God even on this earth. Many fathers of faith worked with God. Among them, Enoch in the Old Testament truly cultivated pure heart and walked with God on earth. In Genesis 5:21-24, we can read that from the time Enoch was 65, he walked with God for 300 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was taken up to heaven alive. Hebrews 11:5 records about Enoch, for he attained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Enoch pleased God by cultivating such a pure heart. Then God worked with him even on earth. And finally, he was taken up to heaven alive. He was 365 at the time. But in those days, people used to live for more than 900 years. So it's the early mid of his 30s in today's age. God took Enoch when he was at the most vigorous time of youth, because Enoch was so lovely in God's eyes. Rather than keeping him on earth, God wanted to put him close to His side in heaven. Through this, we can see how much God loves and rejoices over those who have pure hearts. If our senior pastor said it was today, Father God wouldn't have taken a person like Enoch to heaven, because there are so many people who have to be preached. So he must have put him on earth. In Genesis 5:19, we can see that Jared, the father of Enoch, gave birth to children for 800 years after Enoch's birth. So Enoch had many brothers and sisters. But Enoch had no troubles with any of his brothers. He never wanted to have more than his brothers or sisters. He always yielded to him. He never wanted to be recognized more than his brothers. He just did his best to do his duties. Jacob had 12 sons, and there were many troubles and problems, even though they were just 12. But Enoch had the tens and hundreds. I don't know how many, but Enoch had many siblings, because his father had children for 800 years. But Enoch didn't have any discomfort when some other brothers were loved more than him. He didn't have any jealousy. Also, Enoch was always obedient, not only to the word of God, but also to his parents. But he didn't have any self-centered desires. He had peace with everyone. When he became 65, cultivating a pure heart in him, he reached a level to please him, and he could walk with God. there is a more important reason why he could walk with God. He didn't only look at the world, but he loved God more than anything of the world. He loved his parents and he had peace with his siblings, but he loved God the most. Also, he missed God as he watched the sky and nature and enjoyed to communicate with God. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. As said, Enoch loved God and missed him so much, and God also walked with God. What walked with him, Enoch? You know, most people would feel good when they see the faces of babies.
You smile. You're smiling, and I like the babies. I feel good.
It's because the purity of the babies is passed on to the people, refreshing their hearts too. If you have a longing heart for goodness, you'll be touched when you hear words of goodness or see deeds of goodness. Let us look at each other. Look at each other's face. Do you feel happiness, peace? I hope you do. Father God feels the same when he sees a person with a pure heart. Our Father God is goodness itself and love itself. If he sees a little goodness, he loves it. He's pleased with it. Zephaniah 3:17 expresses Father God's heart like this. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. He wants to see this kind of person more, and he would want to stay with him. Therefore, I hope you will also cultivate pure heart and become God's children whom he would want to see and stay with. Through these trials of blessing, we cherish each one of us, right? If there are many, we cannot feel the preciousness, but if there are a few remained, then we can recognize the value of it. You are so precious. Mrs. Bongnim Lee often says that you are precious. I feel it, and you, I believe that you feel it too. Members of Nisi Orchestra, you are so precious. I'm so grateful to be with you. When I was ministering in a neighboring country for many years, I said this earlier, but there were people who made me feel good. In the 90s, I was a guidance teacher for the young adults. There were happy moments when I led them, the young adults, and they became senior deaconesses or elders now. When I was ministering in a neighboring country, someone came to me and he said thank you to me. He was the one I was a guidance teacher for him in the youth mission. I remembered his young age, how he greeted me with a pure smile. So I felt so happy. I could see that he was unchanging, so I thought that it was beautiful. Our Father God wants us not to be changed. And our Father God thinks is very precious and beautiful. Well, you have your hometown, right? Hometown is unchanging. If you go to your hometown, you can feel many memories. I have many memories in my hometown. So when I came to Seoul, I got some homesick. Of course, the appearance changed, but and the people changed. But the nostalgia about hometown, I could feel always. It's peace, it's happiness, it's warmth, and I feel stable when I go to hometown. I felt that kind of feeling from that person who greeted me in a neighboring country. Unchanging heart is so important. Even if you loved God with passionate love with your life, even if you have worked so faithfully, in the end, if you change, what is the use? Well, in a race, you can see such moments. There are runners who running in the front, but they fell and they couldn't win the race. They cannot win the medal if they fell at the end. So the unchanging heart is so important. The 12th foundation stone is amethyst. The last in it has light violet color and is transparent. It has been loved by the nobles with its elegant and beautiful color. God also deems gentleness, symbolized by amethyst, as beautiful. Gentleness is found in the spiritual love chapter, in the Beatitudes, and even in the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit that is surely born in a person who lives by the word of God. A dictionary defines gentleness as the characters of kindness, mildness, and meekness. But the gentleness God deems beautiful is not just those characters. Those who have gentle characters in flesh may feel uncomfortable about people who have the opposite characters. They may feel it difficult to deal with people who are outgoing or strong in character. I kind of agree to this. I'm not outgoing. Generally, people say I'm not outgoing. I'm not an outgoing person. It happened in the time of the beginning of our church. There was a pastor who came to work to the church wearing a beret. When I saw it, I was so shocked. It was a cultural shock. Until then, I thought pastors should have a holy appearance. I thought pastors should be like our senior pastor. I could not imagine how a pastor wearing a beret. So when that pastor appeared, I was very shocked. He was a outgoing pastor, I mean a person. When I worked with him, I didn't feel uncomfortable, but now I've changed and I'm cultivating the heart that I can rather even such difference. A person who is spiritually gentle can accept any kind of person of any kind of character. This is one of the differences between fleshly gentleness and spiritual gentleness. Then what is the spiritual gentleness and why does God consider it beautiful? To be spiritually gentle is to have a mild and warm character along with a brother heart to accept everyone. It is someone who possesses the heart that is soft and cozy as cotton so that many people can find rest in him. The heart that didn't hate or feel uncomfortable at anything. There is one thing that cannot be missing in this spiritual gentleness. It is the virtuous character. If we have very warm and soft heart only within ourselves, it doesn't really mean anything. We should show it with deeds of goodness and love. From time to time, when it's necessary, we should be able to encourage and give advice to others. To show virtuous character is to strengthen others, let them feel the warmth, and let them find rest in our heart. Those who have spiritual gentleness do not have any prejudice about any person, so people can take rest in them. This spiritual gentleness is like a big tree that provides a big cool shadow on a hot summer day. If a husband accepts and embraces all his family members with a broad heart, his wife will respect and love him. If you are loved and respected by others, how great it will be. You can be loved by others. But it's not easy to be respected by others. You could be a good example, and you should be a good example, and you should be recognized by others. If the wife also has a heart that is soft like cotton, she can provide comfort and peace to her husband, so they can be a happy, very happy couple. A couple of years ago, I saw a testimony of an elder's family. He said that the couple have not had any quarrels in their 22 years of marriage. I was so moved in our heart. For more than 20 years, the couple have not had any quarrels. So when I met him, so I asked him how. Then and he said the couple met together in Mamin. This couple had relationship and they got married while leading Christian life. So I asked how they didn't have any quarrels. Then this member said there were some moments that they didn't agree with each other. If things happen like that, then the husband says, let's stop here and let's think. Then they prayed and they thought, pondered on the matter, and then they didn't have anything to quarrel. Later, I was still wondering how they could live the marriage life like that. When my family members have a strong self-righteousness and frameworks, so we had some quarrels, arguments in my family. But so I asked him how. Then the husband said he's been changing through holiness gospel. Then after so many years of living Christian life, managing Christian life, they've been becoming agreed to each other. This is a family who truly listen to the holiness gospel. This is a good model of a family who know the Holiness Gospel. Of course, there are so many families who are like this couple. Proverbs 17:1 says, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife." Those children who are raised in a peaceful family will not go astray even when they are faced with difficulties, and they can overcome difficulties and grow up with uprightness and health. Likewise, through those who have cultivated spiritual gentleness, people around them can find rest and feel happy. Therefore, God also says that those who are spiritually gentle are really beautiful. It happened in the Civil War. Jefferson, president of the Confederate States at the time, called General Robert, the commander, and said, "Tell me what you think. I'm going to promote your direct deputy to a commander." Then General Robert said, "He's a competent soldier. I think he's qualified enough as a commander." The next day, the deputy came to General Robert and asked for his forgiveness, saying, "I've always blamed you, but you praised me and recommended me as a commander." Then General Robert said, "Mr. President didn't ask me what you thought about me, but what I thought about you." Although General Robert lost the war, he was recognized as the greatest strategist in American history. After the Civil War, he tried for national unity and reconciliation, regardless of the demands of subordinates who wanted continuous fighting. He is respected by American people now. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." The earth here means the heart of men who are made from earth. That is, those who are gentle in heart will gain many people's heart and also receive a large area of land as a reward in heaven by guiding many souls to the truth. That's why God said about Moses in Numbers 12:3, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." Moses led the Exodus. He led more than 2 million people and guided them for 40 years in the wilderness. Just as parents raise their children, he embraced them in his heart and guided them according to God's will. People of Israel, even though they saw manna from the sky, the heaven, and even though he saw miracles every day, They didn't remember the grace of God. If they didn't have manna from above, they could starve. The number was 200, even adults, even men. Father God gave them manna from above every day. They saw this work of God every day. It became their everyday life. So they took it for granted. This is the heart of people, human beings. So Father God says the heart is deceived than all else. We should not have this kind of heart. Our Father God has been with us, Ma Min, for 37 years. He protected us with the rainbows. He protected us. He has been with us with the rainbows. It's not a natural phenomena. In science, we could only see the rainbows after rain. But without rain, we could see the rainbow in the sky. It is the promise of God. Rainbows are with us. It means that it is the proof that God is with us. But do you take it for granted? There are people who say it's a just natural phenomena. Father God showed power to the people of Israel, but people forgot those grace and they stood against Moses. But Moses embraced them in his heart and guided them according to God's will. Father's friend, the greatest man who was born in wombs of women, the man who was humble more than anyone on earth, it is a very glorious expression to a person. God called Moses as this, and he is the fruit shining brilliantly in New Jerusalem. Not only in duties of taking care of the souls, but in any kind of duty, if you do it with gentleness, you can do anything. Because people have been raised in different circumstances and have different characters, they don't have the same heart and thoughts. Therefore, the gentleness to empty oneself and accept others stands out beautifully where everyone insists that he is right. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters, as of today, we have looked into all the spiritual hearts symbolized by each of the 12 foundation stones of the city wall of New Jerusalem. The senior pastor explained in details about the spiritual meaning of each stone. Jasper stands for faith, sapphire for uprightness, chalcedony for sacrifice, emerald for justness, sardonyx for faithfulness, sardius for passion, chrysolite for mercy, beryl for patience, topaz for goodness, chrysoprase for self-control, jacinth for purity, and amethyst for gentleness. Each heart of spirit is the key to New Jerusalem. And the senior pastor who knows the Father God's heart very well gave these keys to us. When we consolidate all these characters, it becomes the heart of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Father God gave this key to us. As I said to you earlier, our senior pastor has been accumulating so many prayers and fastings to God, and he received this explanation about these. When we consolidate all these characters, it becomes the heart of Jesus Christ and God the Father. It is perfect love, and it is the key to entering New Jerusalem. Therefore, I hope you cultivate all hearts of spirit that 12 gemstones symbolize. 1 Corinthians 15:41 says, "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. I pray in the name of the Lord that many of you may become the fruit of glory, shining like the sun in New Jerusalem, and give comfort and joy to Father God forever."
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.